Hi, I'm Willis Kern. Thanks for choosing Sound Money on GLT, and thanks for listening to the Sound Money Podcast.
Support for GLT comes from Justin M. Boyd, financial representative at Country Financial, offering clients a one-on-one experience to meet all of their financial and insurance needs, auto, home, life, business, and retirement options. More at facebook.com/JustinBoydCountry. This is GLT.
In early April, the Labor Department unveiled a new fiduciary rule requiring investment advisors put clients' interests above their own when making recommendations about retirement investing. Edgar Norton is director of ISU's Institute for Financial Planning and Analysis. Edgar, most people, myself included, might have been under the mistaken notion that this was already happening, but apparently it's not.
No, there's two legal standards out there for someone who calls himself a financial advisor. There's a suitability standard, which is what most stockbrokers and most life insurance and other insurance salesmen are held onto. And a suitable standard just means if you're working with them, they just need to make recommendations for a suitable investment. So if they decide you need more stocks, more stock exposure in your portfolio, they can recommend low-cost index funds. They can recommend higher-cost mutual funds that try to buy low and sell high and try to beat the market. They can try to manage a portfolio rather than have you buy a mutual fund. They might recommend like 10 or 20 different stocks to invest in, or they might invest in they might recommend an annuity product, which is famous for high commissions and being rather illiquid. If I have to get out of that annuity, it may cost me some big fees.
And it might just be the case that this advisor, if you will, has some sort of maybe a sales agreement with some of these brokerage firms that he's actually recommending, if you will?
Well, obviously, a successful stockbroker or insurance salesman has to do right by their clients. Otherwise, in this world of social media, they'll get burned out there. But there's no legal standard until this law came around that required them to do what's best in the client's interest. They could do what's suitable, which might mean a higher commission, might mean higher fees, might mean that the insurance company is offering points toward a Hawaii trip if you sell so many types of contracts this month. And so therefore, any client I see, you look like you can fit into this product. I'm going to try to sell that to you. And so rather than doing what's best for the client, there's an incentive there to maybe do what's best for yourself.
So this new rule, I think they call it the final rule, actually takes the place of the suitability clause?
In some respects, it only applies to retirement accounts. So if you have a taxable account, you have money on the side, you're investing in stocks and bonds or mutual funds, this rule doesn't cover that. But if you're investing, say, in an IRA, or you had money in a 401k and you left that company and you're thinking about rolling over that 401k money into an IRA, that is what's covered under this new Department of Labor fiduciary rule, where the person that's working with you is held to a fiduciary standard. And what that means is they have to make decisions in your best interest.
So who in the world of financial planning is affected by this rule? Just people who are setting up retirement accounts for people?
For the most part, yeah. Anyone who's working with a client on an IRA or considering a rollover to an IRA. Part of the issue is, for example, 401ks are held to a legal, their legal law is called ERISA. And ERISA says if you're putting money in a 401k, the people managing that money have a fiduciary duty. They have to do what's best for those 401k participants. But once you take the money out of the 401k into the IRA space, for example, you do a rollover to an IRA, that fiduciary rule disappeared because the suitability standard was now in play with many financial advisors. And so this just draws the link in saying, okay, if you're going to put money into an IRA, you're going to roll over money to an IRA, that financial advisor has to do what's best for you. By looking at fees, expense, you have to look at the whole picture. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to dump everything into low-cost index funds, but they need to justify their decision as to what funds or how the money is going to be invested.
So what do you think the clients will notice any different after this change goes into effect, if anything at all?
They'll notice some paperwork as part of this process. If you are possibly earning a commission, if you're the financial planner and you're possibly earning a commission, you have to have the client sign a form. It's called the Best Interest Contract Exemption, or BICE, BIC exception or BICE, I've heard it pronounced different ways. And that legally binds that advisor to a fiduciary standard. It says they have to disclose any conflicts of interest. So I have to, if I'm the financial planner, I need to let them know that, hey, I'm getting, you know, a commission on this up front. You may be suspicious that your advisor is getting a commission, but they have to tell you right out, here's how much I'm making off of this deal. So they have to publicize, if you will, that compensation. Yeah. And they have to let you know about any upfront fees and any potential conflicts of interest they have.
So there's another change with something called covered communication. This seems to deal with the definition of the word recommendation. What is the change that's going on with this?
Well, if I just want to go and get educated, I want to go to an educational seminar offered by someone, or I contract an advisor wanting to ask questions about, say, a rollover IRA.
Or maybe you're attending a class at a community college that's being taught by an investment advisor, something like that.
Indeed. That fiduciary, they don't need to sign anything. There's no BIC agreement for that. You can convey educational investment knowledge, or as long as you're not selling a product or recommending a product, that's okay. You're not covered. But once you start recommending a product and working with that person as a client, that's when that BIC exemption contract can come into play, especially if you're earning a commission.
Do you expect investors to be more cognizant of what they hear from investors now that this rule has been proposed?
Well, we can always hope. How many times, you know, if you've had the privilege of being able to sign lending agreements for a home or for a mortgage or whatever, that maybe you're working with a stockbroker or life insurance agent now and they give you these forms to sign, how many people actually read through them and know what they're signing? And so
this will be another paper on top of the stack.
Yeah, I hope the regulations are still to be fleshed out as to how much, you know, hopefully they'll be said, okay, this is the BIC agreement, this is what it means, and sign here if you agree with this. In other words, I'm hoping that the consumer will have the knowledge either by publicity or by the planner informing the client as to the importance of that form.
This new rule is being phased in, but really isn't fully effective for a year or so. Are clients at risk of being taken advantage of during this ramp-up period? In other words, are there quote-unquote salesmen/investors out there who are saying, well, I better make my quotas now before it's virtually impossible after a certain date?
Well, every legitimate firm has their legal staff working overtime right now. This final rule is 1,000 pages long, and so they have to read it to find out what's inside of it and get their ducks in a row. I think for advertising publicity purposes, it'd be great to say, you know, sooner rather than later, our company's now in compliance with this and we're going to obey these rules, even though we don't have to until next April of 2017, we're going to start obeying these rules now.
So it shows the client a good faith effort at being upfront and transparent.
Indeed, indeed.
Edgar Norton is the director of ISU's Institute for Financial Planning and Analysis. We've been talking about the new investment fiduciary rule being implemented by the federal government. Thanks, Edgar.
You're welcome, Willis.
I'm Willis Kern.